Hi, everyone. My name's Larry Adams, and I want to take just a moment to thank you for downloading the podcast of this message. At Golden Hills, we are committed to exalting Jesus and preaching the Word, and your downloading of this message is a great encouragement to us as we know that our ministry is going out to spread God's Word all over the world. We want you to know, too, that in no way do we intend these messages to be a replacement for your involvement in a good local church, where, sitting under the authority of pastors and other teachers, you can learn to worship, grow, and serve, and be engaged with a body of believers, where you can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We realize also that some of you may be in areas of the world where there is no local church. Therefore, we're hoping that these messages you're using, as you gather with your family or other believers or people from the community, that it will be a great encouragement to you as you hear God speak into your life and help you to become disciples who are true, reproducing followers of Jesus Christ.
Good morning, Golden Hills. Thank you, Pastor Brian. Thanks, Pastor Larry, for inviting me to speak at your Mission Sunday. It's exciting that you have a church that has a Mission Sunday. Sadly, we forget that our role is to obey our Savior's command to share with others what we learn from Jesus. My name is Fuad Masri. If you can't say Fuad, you can call me Joe. I answer to that one. My wife is a blonde American. We've been married 23 years, and she texts me. She's praying for me this morning. And the first 3 years of our married life, she called me honey. So I said to her, "Why do you call me honey?" She said, "I can't say your name." So don't call me honey. That's from my wife, Lisa. Fuad sounds like quad with an F. Fuad means loving heart or spiritual heart. So guys, you want to give a rose to your girls and say, "This is from my Fuad, from my loving heart." We started the Ministry Crescent Project because we believe we have a hope worth sharing with Muslims. Crescent Project believes that we need to build bridges between Christians and Muslims and share with them what we learn from Jesus, what we learn about Jesus, what we need to know as a believers today, and we can share it with everybody, but especially with Muslims. The video you watched called Last 20, God is moving. We haven't reached critical mass with the number of people coming to faith in Christ, but we are seeing something that God is doing different. What I want to do this morning is share with you what is God doing, not what the devil is doing. When you watch the news, you see what the devil is doing. But we want to share this morning what God is doing. So you're welcome, if you have your iPhone or Droid or whatever you have, smartphone, welcome to go on Facebook or Twitter, that's fine. Just type Crescent Project, download the video, and share it with all your friends. Why we do what we do? People say, so why do you do what you do? Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." This is not about making more Republicans or making more Democrats. This is not about let's get more people in our club. It's not about let's make more Baptists or Presbyterian. This is all about Jesus, who 2,000 years ago said, "Go and tell them that I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." My brother and my sister, if you are a follower of Jesus, if Jesus is your master and savior, you want to share because he told us to share. This verse means a lot to me because on September 11, 2001, I was at a missions committee meeting. I live in the state of Indiana. We have corn and colts. So it's a flat land and love coming to California, land of the mountains. But I never saw the first plane hit. But we were in the meeting. They told us to stop the meeting. We saw the second plane hit. Then the third, they said there's a third plane. And they said there's a fourth plane. And while I was there, my mind went back to 1978. I was junior in high school, and a group in my class called themselves a cell. There were five of them, five fanatic, and the leader's name was Kamal, and he had a map of the United States this size with 10 dots on the map, and one of the map had WTC. My English teacher was from England, so WC is the water closet. That's the bathroom. What is the WTC for a teenager from Beirut? What does WTC mean? So I said to Kamal, I said, "Hey, what is that? What is WTC?" He goes, "World Trade Center." Fast forward to September 11. It was a very sad day for me. I was so frustrated. But you know, the verse came to echoing. Jesus kept giving me this verse. The verse starts this way. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What did they do that day? They stole the planes, killed the people, destroyed the building. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The reason we change our vision, we look at the situation, we say, no, what is happening is we are seeing the symptoms of sin. Hate produces murder. Hate produces killing, but God comes in and changes your heart through Jesus. This is why we do what we do. We believe that all people, especially Muslims, need to know that Christ can give them abundant life. Now, I told you I was born and raised in Beirut, Lebanon. I grew up five blocks from the seashore there. Lebanon is a small country, size of Connecticut. It's not a big country. If I drive from Beirut 1 hour and a half, I'll get to Damascus, to another country. Here I drove from San Jose Airport to here, and I was still in the state of California. I understand you can drive 24 hours and still be in the state of Texas. So you can tell coming to America was really shocking for me. My dad is Lebanese, but my mom is Syrian, and mom just got back from Damascus, from Syria. Sorry, she was visiting our cousins. We have many problems. The war in Syria is close to our family, so we're monitoring the situation there. But sadly, in the war in Lebanon, I decided to become an atheist. The gospel had come to our family because grandpa got saved in Toledo, Ohio in 1914 and brought the gospel back. But during the war in Lebanon, I decided to become an atheist. And a friend of mine asked me, Fuad, if you die tomorrow, where will you go? I said, well, I don't believe in God. He said, but it's too late then. Whoops, he's right. There's only one guarantee on this planet. One guarantee on this planet. Everybody will die, and you can't take it with you. It doesn't matter if you invented Xbox or you live in Colorado, if you live in Beirut or Africa, if you're from Asia or Australia, everybody will die. So I decided to become an agnostic. That's a good word. Is there a God? I don't know. Is there heaven? I don't know. But I was like a little boat, you know, being pushed by the waves, and decided to study different religions. And I found that Jesus was different than all leaders. He washed the feet of his followers. And Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Hey, that's a good one. Do unto others what you want them to do unto you. That's good for Congress, right? Jesus says, love your enemies. That's a good one for the Middle East. Jesus says, do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd because I lay my life for the sheep. Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what the master is doing. I call you friends. Wow, I want to be the friend of Jesus. But this information was here in the mind. How did it come to the heart? The Bible says we have to worship God with all our mind. That's your intellect. That's your logic. So for us as followers of Christ, committed believers who believe in education, in science and inventions, that's how you worship God. But then the Bible says we have to worship God from all our heart. What does that mean? What does that mean? What it means, the heart is where your will is. You don't tell your wife, honey, I love you from all my mind. She'll say, oh, that's cute. No, I love you from all my heart. You're my one and only. I decided. So for me, how did the information move from the mind to the heart? We have family friends. They have four kids. While they're eating dinner during the Lebanese war, their two-year-old son spilled milk. So the father picks up the son, goes to the bathroom to wash his hands, and a mortar shell, usually this big, looks like the Goodyear blimp, came through the balcony, exploded in the middle of the table. Wife and three kids, pieces on the wall. The man survived with his son, picked up a plastic bag, and buried his whole family in one bag. And that was the trigger for me. The trigger for me to move the information from the mind to the heart. The problem in Lebanon was not weapons. Look at a human history. Look at the human history. We killed each other over land, over religion, over race, over skin color, right? We've killed each other with sticks and stones and spears. And now we have weapons of mass destruction. We have chemical weapons. Last year, the worst chemical weapon attack in 100 years happened in Syria, and United Nations says, we're going to collect the chemical weapons. What? Will that stop them killing each other if we collect the chemical weapon? And they're going to give it to us because we asked? Is that the real issue? The real issue is the heart, the human heart. The real issue was my heart. I hated Jewish people. I hated Palestinians. And that was the information from the mind to heart. I went to my room, closed the door, and this is what I prayed. I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin of hate. The more there's war in Lebanon, I want to be a soldier of peace. The more there's hate in Lebanon, I want to be a soldier of love. And God changed my heart. God, change my heart. Start praying for Jewish people. Start praying for Palestinians. Start praying for my neighbors. The church I grew up 5 blocks from the seashore, we had a weekly prayer meeting that prayed for Menachem Begin, Saddam Hussein, Yasser Arafat, Muammar Gaddafi, because when you are a follower of Jesus, you don't watch people by race. You don't see them by their how much money they have. You don't see them by their religion, but you see them as God's creation, and God can change them from inside out. Amen. This is our message. Our message is to change. Message is to change. Now, a couple of statistics I want to share with you before we dig deep into what I feel Jesus is telling us this morning. Lebanon is in the heart of the 1040 window right there between Europe, Africa, and Asia. This is what we call the 1040 window. Most Christians don't know this, but if you are born in any of these countries, the chances of you seeing a page of the Bible is zero. So just take the Muslim bloc. 1.5 billion Muslims have never seen a page of the Bible. The Arabic Bible is banned. It's illegal in Morocco, in Algeria, in Tunisia, in Libya, in Yemen, in Saudi Arabia, in Sudan. And people are born, grow up, get married, have kids, and never see a page of the Bible. Never see a page of the Bible. The second problem is the religious leaders don't study the Bible and teach their people what does the Bible teach. So the religious leaders are feeding them incorrect information. So most Muslims today are taught that Jesus was born under a palm tree. No, Jesus was born in a manger. And there were angels, and there were shepherds, and there were kings. And what did the kings bring? Come on, help me out. Gold, not silver, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After the service, ask me why the three presents. They don't even know the story that we sing every Christmas. They don't know. Every year we take mission trips overseas. One year we were in southern Spain giving out Bibles, and we had a book table in Arabic Bibles, and as people come, we'd say, would you like a copy of the Injil? Injil is Arabic for New Testament. If they'll take one, that's great. If not, we say thank you. So one day, the table was next to the curb, and the car slows down. The driver had a bushy beard down to his second button. This means he's devout. He's a devout Muslim. So he comes close. He rolls down the window. I say, assalamu alaikum, means peace be upon you. He said, wa alaikum assalam. I said, sir, we're giving the book of Jesus. He said to me, I am the Imam of Amsterdam. Well, I guess he's a Moroccan that immigrated to Holland. He said that he's the Imam. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he said. Because I am the Imam of Amsterdam. Have you read the Quran? I said, yes, 14 times. He goes, in Arabic? I said, yeah, in Arabic. Why? Do I look French to you? I'm an Arab. So he left. He goes, I read the Quran 4 times, but I've never read the Bible. Give me the Bible. Since you read the Quran, I want to read the Bible. So I gave him the Bible. He drove off. I'm thinking to myself, I'm an evangelical minister. I've read the Quran 14 times. Now 18 times. He's never read the book of Jesus. So when Muslims ask him about Jesus, what does he tell them about Jesus? He's never read the book. Although Jesus mentioned the Quran 93 times and his name is mentioned, they don't know what Jesus came to do. They don't know the teachings. They say he was a great prophet. He did miracles, but they don't know what are these miracles. We have the whole story they need to hear. So one, they don't have access to. The leaders don't teach them. Three, the window on what we call America and Christians is television. First trip to Morocco. I've been there 4 times, by the way. Morocco is a beautiful country. The Moroccans are wonderful people. Very hospitable, very pious. They always love to talk about God, especially about Jesus. It's wonderful. I've been there four times. So the first time we're riding in a train, and the guy hears me speak. He goes, are you an Arab? I said, yeah, I'm an Arab, but I live in the United States of America. He goes, America? I said, yeah, America. He goes, it's a bad country. I said, America is a bad country. He goes, yeah, Americans are illiterate, uneducated, and bunch of cow herders. I think he meant cowboys. I said to him, have you been to America? He goes, no. I said, how do you get your information? He goes, I watched movies. What is he move? What are you watching? Clint Eastwood? The good, the bad? Sadly, the number one window is television. I came to America as an international student. Christmas, it was Santa Claus. Easter was rabbit season. And you could live in this country 4 years or 6 years, never hear the gospel on TV. So sadly, what happens to Muslims when they come here, they have no interaction with us. They don't know what we believe. I was talking to a Muslim man at Starbucks. He said to me, you Christians worship 3 gods. I said, no, sir, we worship 1. He goes, no, you worship 3. I said, no, we worship 1. He goes, no, you worship 3. I said, excuse me, Muhammad. You want to teach me Islam? Teach me Islam. Don't teach me Christianity. You're a Muslim. So the idea is he already thought that we worship three gods. Worship one God. Always when a Muslim tells you we worship three gods, ask him what three gods we worship. You hear this, that we worship God the Father, Mary the Mother, and Jesus the baby. So they don't even have a clear understanding, what do we believe? And sadly, we're not talking about one person or two people. We talk about a billion and a half. The next problem is the number of people, I said to you, working with them. We don't have enough people working, sharing the good news with them. A young lady, 16-year-old young lady, went through the Bridges study and prayed for her neighborhood and found out she has an Egyptian family next door. So she went to visit them. And she walks in the house and they were doing a tea chai. They were drinking Egyptian chai. And the mom says to her, you're a nice American. She goes, thank you. She said to her, we've lived in this house for 6 years. You're the first American. You're the first American. They lived in that house 6 years. She was the first American. Then you hear stuff like this, the foreign Pakistani lady. Don't you love this? Anyone who describes Islam as an intolerant religion encourages violence. English is my second language. What does that mean? What does that mean? This is one of the struggles today. You cannot outthink the religious leaders. You cannot outthink the Quran. You cannot outthink Islam. So the 1040 window, or what we call the Muslim word right now, is within a struggle. The struggle within Islam is who defines Islam? Who defines Islam? King Abdullah of Jordan, a great king, who spoke very wonderfully in front of the European Union, talked about what does Islam means to him, and then he made the statement, the Christians of the East are our past, our present, and will always be our future. It's a beautiful statement. Is that the person that represents Islam, or who represents Islam? Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, al-Baghdadi, who represents Islam? And it's easy for you, you're not getting this information, it's easy on the news to kind of have 90 seconds, right? I love it. My bachelor's degree was in mass communication. Dan Rather was my hero. And you watch TV in America, I used to think there's an agenda. There's no agenda. They just want to sell you commercials. You get 90 seconds. Can you tell me who are the Sunnis? Who are the Shiites? Who are the Wahhabis? You get 90 seconds and then 5 minutes commercial. Buy our deodorant. That's good. But 90 seconds. Sadly, people don't know that we have major issues. And the struggle within Islam is what you're seeing. It's always been there. But now with the social media, it's common, and we can hear about it every day. But what does Jesus want to tell us today? What is Jesus trying to tell us? Jesus saying to us, when you look at life, you have to see it, light and darkness. Some people look at life as a selfish view. How much can I get? You remember that bumper sticker? The one with the most toys wins what? You win nothing. You can't take it with you. Others look at life as a dog eat dog. Remember, I want to be the big dog. But Jesus says, no, in Matthew 5:14, if you have your Bible on your iPhone, please feel free to get it, or smartphone like Android, please, you can download it, it's okay. My theology allows me to read my Bible on this, but let's read it together. Matthew 5:14, 16, let's focus on the text. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What Christ is saying to us is that life is light in darkness. God saved you. God gave you a salvation. Christ is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But then he gave you a job. He gave me a job. We are the light in the darkness. Now, when I read this verse, I'm like, Lord, how am I the light? I am the light. You know my weaknesses. You know my sins. You know I grew up in Beirut. I have a lot of issues. But see, this relationship here is between, like the relation between the moon and the sun. At night, when you look at the moon does not have light of its own. The moon reflects the light of the sun. And that's what Jesus is saying. You are the light because you reflect me. He is with you. Jesus says in John 15, "You without me, you can do nothing." In John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear fruit. This jacket was hanging in the closet. How did it come here? Did the jacket drive? No, I wore it. Can I love my enemies? No, but Jesus in me can. Can I love my neighbor? No, but Jesus in me can. Can I forgive someone? No, but Jesus in me can. Can I keep my mind pure? No, but Jesus in me can. Can I keep my mouth pure? No, but Jesus in me can. My brother and my sister, Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Believe in me. And so it's very important to understand that we are the light because he gave us the power. We are the light because we're reflecting his light. Now let's look at the nature of light and darkness. If this room was dark, we have to light a candle at least, or a flashlight, have a flashlight. Light will help you not trip, avoid obstacles, avoid pitfalls, find a path, find the truth. So that is the role of the light. The light speaks, shares, communicates. The biggest lie today is that, it's okay to sing here. We can clap and sing and talk about Jesus here in the building. Don't talk about him out there. But Jesus says, what I told you in secret, shout from the rooftop. My brother and my sister, we have a role to shine the light. Yes, it's not correct to burn a church. 400 churches burned in Egypt last year. It's not correct to bomb a mosque. They just put a bomb in the pulpit of the mosque. It's not right for somebody to die because they're from the wrong religion. We don't believe. These are the teachings of Jesus. You have to speak up. I was speaking to an elder at a church, and he said to me, I don't want to share the gospel with Muslims because they might blow up. No, they're not going to blow up. Most Muslims today are what we call nominal Muslim or cultural Muslim. They're Muslim because they were Iraqi or maybe Afghani or their parents are Muslim. Most Muslims are pious. They want to know about God. Very few of them are involved in the militants. We call them usuliyin, means those who want to go back to the roots of Islam. So usuliyin have always been through Islam. And because of jihad in chapter 9 of the Quran, chapter 9 verse 5, chapter 9 verse 29, chapter 9 verse 111, and chapter 25 of the Quran, and chapter 47, allow jihad. So jihad has always been used by these groups to implement, you know, they're a brand by force, but that's only 4 to 5% of every Muslim community. Majority of Muslims are pious. They're doing what their parents told them. They come to America, they want to have a living. They want to be like us, raise a family. So just because they're Muslim, they're not going to be having a bomb around them. Second guy I was talking to, he's a minister, he goes, is the environment in the Muslim world conducive for evangelism? What? English is my second language. What? Is the environment conducive? So when we spoke on the civil rights, was the environment in America conducive? When we spoke as Christians against the slave trades, and I encourage you, read the life of the abolitionists who loved Jesus so much that they freed their own slaves. Read the life of John Woolman, a Quaker, on his horse and buggy in 30 years, got rid of all the slaves in the Quaker community, 30 years before the Civil War. When we spoke against the slave trades, was the environment conducive? When Jesus stood in front of the Jewish leaders and said to them, today the Isaiah prophecy has been fulfilled, was the environment conducive? My brother and my sister, you shine the light, not in the light. You shine the light in the darkness. The people that you are, your neighbors, the people who are here visiting, we shine the light. Who will tell 7 million Muslims in America, who's going to welcome them? Who's going to welcome them? I'm standing at Kroger supermarket. I don't know if you have Kroger. I think you have Vons here or something. My wife doesn't like to shop with me because I'm Mr. High I personality. I got to meet everybody. When we're in the elevator, I got to talk to everybody. My wife says, honey, in America, we just walk in the elevator, look at the numbers, and count the numbers. We don't talk to anyone. So I'm standing in line, checking out. The guy behind me looked Arab, but I wasn't sure. Sometimes, you know, Latinos look Arab, right? So I turn around and say, habla español? He goes, no, I speak Arabic. Started talking to him. Turned out he's Palestinian. I said to him, I would like to give you a copy of the Bible, the Injil. He said to me, I've been in Indiana for 6 years. I've been looking for one. Many times we think, oh, it's going to be so hard. It just takes, shine your light. Shine your light. Invite somebody over. Shine your light. Second, light for this room, you don't need a lot of light. A little light is enough. Many times we think the way to share the gospel with our friends, whether they're Muslim or not, it's going to take us education, we'll have to have a PhD. No, this little light of mine, I will let it shine. It doesn't matter. Maybe it's a conversation. Jamila Ishia, they invited her to the youth group, sweet lady. She said to me, 20 minutes one way, they will drive and pick me up. 3 years later, became a believer. My friend Mona Sunni covers with a hijab the whole thing. She started coming to church. She wants to hear, what do they say about Jesus? A little bit. And she became a believer. You shine your light, even if it's little. And finally, the light and darkness. Light always defeats darkness. Always. So my brother and my sister, your light, Jesus wants us to shine. Jesus wants us to shine. A couple of things briefly on testimonies. This is Islam in America, 7 million Muslims in this country. The Bridges study has been training people, but Puentes now is the Bridges study in Spanish. Well, my love to share more testimonies. I'm watching the clock, but there's so much testimony to share with you this morning. My friend Sam, who's a Shia, he was on a trip, and the person who sat there next to him in the plane was a Latino pastor who did Puentes. They shared with him about Jesus. They gave him a Bible. A year later, he became a believer in Christ. I asked him, Sam, why? He said to him, I was reading the Bible, and Jesus says, "Tuba li'anqiya al-qalb li'annahum yu'aynun Allah." He said to me, it's blessed are the pure in spirit, for they will see God. He said, I've never heard anything like this. Never heard anything like this. My friend Abdul Samad, I shared some of his testimony. My friend Hussam al-Din was reading the Bible. My friend Hassan, he picked up the Bible to find the mistakes in the Bible. Studying the Bible 8 years. Now he's a minister of a secret church. It took somebody to shine the light, to shine the light. I was in January in Lebanon. 34 Sunnis were baptized on the same day. We haven't reached critical mass, but Muslims are asking questions. Muslims want to know about the Prince of Peace. Is there peace? Can I receive peace today? And so the struggle for us today is many times to forget to shine the light. I like to share this picture. This is an American group who went to Beirut, and they're sharing the gospel with Kuwaitis. Look, the Kuwaitis took Bibles. You know, Lebanon is the sandbox of the Middle East, so Kuwaitis come over. And this group was thinking they're going to share the gospel with Muslims from Lebanon. Turned out they were sharing the gospel with Muslims from Kuwait. God is moving. God is working. My friend Francis was the president of the Muslim Student Association. He called me, said to him, I'm reading the Bible. About a year later, he calls me back, he goes, could you pray for me? I said, why? He said to me, tomorrow I'm resigning from being the president of the Muslim Student Association. And I said, why do you want to do that? He goes, well, I got baptized, became a believer. I can't be the president of the Muslim Student Association. So the Lord is working. And you know what happened? He read the Bible. His classmate said to him, before you accuse a book that's been corrupted, read the Bible. He said to me, Jesus' words, when he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus says, I don't leave you orphans. I go and prepare a place for you. There's nothing like these words, nothing like these words. What is God speaking to you this morning? There's someone in your community that God wants you to talk to about Jesus. The best way you can do for your Muslim friend is, number one, show respect. Don't insult Islam. Don't insult Muhammad. That's not my job. Our job is to be peacemakers. Our job is not to build walls. So please do not attack Prophet Muhammad and the teaching of Muhammad or attack Muslims. That's not our job. Who are the people that Jesus attacked or criticized? Who? The Pharisees, right? Where are the Pharisees today? In the church or outside the church? So we're going to pick at somebody. Let's pick at somebody who's being Pharisaic. But when you meet a Muslim, show respect, don't criticize, and second, always listen. In the book, Connecting with Muslims, the goal of this book is how to begin a conversation by listening. Most of the time, people have a toolbox, right? Everybody has a toolbox when they talk to Muslims, but the tool that they have is called the hammer, right? Boom, 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 you know, bam, bam, bam. Did you get it? Bam, let me hit you again. No, the goal is to have a toolbox. You're meeting a Sunni, Shia, Druze, whoever you're meeting, there's a way to communicate in a way that's healthy and building bridges. So please show respect. Don't criticize Islam and then always shine the light. Shine the light. I was in Columbus, Ohio. This lady comes up. She goes, Fuad, I'm studying bridges study, but my neighbor is from Somalia. And I said, well, God bless you with her. She said, she saw her dad shot, tied to behind a car, and dragged down the street. I said to her, your friend just needs you to pray with her. She's in a traumatic situation. How would you feel? You see your own dad get shot and dragged by some other group. And the sad part today is we think that shining the light is somewhat like A, B, C, D. No, shining light is, Jesus says, let your good deeds shine so they will glorify your God in heaven. My brother and my sister, you and I have a role, and that is to shine the light. I want to end with this verse before we pray, because I'm going to pray that God will give you a name of a person that you can talk to. Now, maybe that name might not be a Muslim, maybe a good old American. I was on a flight, and the guy sitting next to me, he said to me, oh, I love baby Jesus. I said, sir, Jesus grew up and had more to say. You know, don't you love talking to Americans? Like, oh, I love baby Jesus. Hello, you know. But maybe when we pray, God will give you a name. But I'd love to finish our talk this morning by this verse. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. To plow in the days of Jesus, you have to get on the plow, look forward, look forward. And whenever we talk about shining the light in the Muslim world, everybody says to me, oh, remember September 11? I know, but Jesus is saying, look forward. Oh, do you remember the Boston bombing? I know, but let's look forward, don't look back. Oh, remember they just killed people in Chattanooga? I know, that's such a mess. That's the job of the government. The government protects the people. What is the job of the church? We are about our master's business. Our master's business is the kingdom of God. You have something that you have to focus on. You keep the focus on the mission. You do it because, although it's hard, you do it because it's right. Shining the light is right. I learned this verse more, I guess, vividly when my son at age 8 had a knee accident. I'd like to tell the story. In Indiana, when it gets hot, we put the sprinkler system, you know, and let the kids run in the bathing suit. Do you do that here in California, you know, it gets hot? So my son was 8 years old. He played every sport. He played soccer. He played basketball. He's very good. I mean, he was good in baseball. He played hockey. He didn't do so well. I guess it's the Arab blood, you know. You don't see Arabs on ice. But, you know, he didn't like hockey. So he was 8. We brought his cousins. We got the sprinkler system. I'm fiddling with the sprinkler system, and I hear him say to me, Daddy, I'm going to help you. So I turn around, and my son was on this glass table trying to pull the umbrella out. He pushes with his knee, and the whole thing collapses. There's glass everywhere, blood everywhere. So we call 911. They come. We get to the hospital, and the doctor does some tests. He goes, well, it's not too bad. He's okay. He didn't cut any ligaments, so let's stitch it, you know, and send him home. I said, but sir, don't you want to wash the kneecap? Maybe there's glass on the kneecap. He goes, yeah, but he's only 8 years old. We might put him under, and he might not wake up, have complications. So we'll just stitch him and send him back. But what if there's glass? I mean, my son is an athlete. I'm the dad. I'm responsible. Well, how do you make a decision? So I said, can I get a minute? I closed the door. I said, Lord, give me wisdom what to say. And the Lord reminded me that when my son was at 6 years old, he had an operation and did well with anesthesia. So I opened the door. I said, please put him under and wash the kneecap. So they put him under, washed the kneecap, and found 3 pieces of glass. One of them was 1.5 inches. What if he left that in the knee? The easy way was stitch him and send him home. But the hard way was to wash the kneecap. The easy way, stitch him and send him home. But the hard way was to wash the kneecap. The hard way was the right way. The hard way was the right way. Shining our light in darkness, yes, there are some problems. Yes, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you want to put on your calendar that I'm going to make a decision to go talk to that person. But the hard way is the right way. When we pray, I'm asking God to give you a name of a person. Maybe they're Muslim, maybe they're not. Maybe somebody you know in your family that once you leave, you got to pick up the phone and say, you need to change your lifestyle. You need to get rid of that relationship. You need to change that habit. You need to change that job. Yes, you are the light in darkness. It doesn't matter what's the religious background. Doesn't matter if they're from the Middle East or not. You and I, Jesus asking us to be the light in darkness. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you that we can call you Father because of Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus to be born of the Virgin Mary, to live a perfect life, to give us great teachings, to die on the cross for redemption and raise from the dead for our justification. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that ignites in us a passion to love Jesus, a passion to be involved in the kingdom. Thank you that the Holy Spirit gives us compassion for Muslims. Lord, I pray that you bless this congregation, its leaders and members. Lord, I pray that we will raise the banner of Christ high, not only in California, but across this planet. Lord, I pray that you give each one of us here a person to talk to. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you ask us this morning to bless and not to curse. So, Lord, we pray that you bless Muslims, that you bless Muslim fathers and Muslim mothers. Lord, we pray that you bless Muslim children. Lord, we pray that you will bless Muslim imams and religious leaders. Lord, we pray that you bless Muslim kings and Muslim presidents. Lord, we pray that you bless Muslims with the true blessing of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.